Hey everyone, welcome to the Grace Hour, our daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges, helps them to learn their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett. I am the director of Maryland Bible College and Seminary, and today I am joined by a wonderful guest, a surprise guest, a student at Maryland Bible College and Seminary, Andrew Silva. Andrew, feel free to say hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for being here. Today, Andrew and I have the wonderful responsibility to talk about theantric action. Theantric action. So I have a definition for you of theantric action, and then I'm going to kick it right over to Andrew, put him on the spot and see how he does, test my student here, see if he is capable, which he is. Of course he is. God is able, and he has God inside him. That's what we're talking about today, theantric action.
That's right.
All right, so theantric action, the definition we're working on, and by the way, Pastor Paul Angelonis and Jesse Fires, another MBCNS student, the president of the student council, did a great job yesterday speaking about this topic. If you want to catch that episode, it is on YouTube. You can go there and you can watch it again. So the definition for theantric action is the fullness to overflowing of God's divine nature in the human vessel, which is surrendered to the plan of God. So for our first introductory thoughts on the topic, Andrew Silva, be my guest.
I like that definition. I heard Pastor Paul speak about this yesterday, and I think we get this from Pastor Stephen's booklet, Theantric Action.
Yeah, this is actually one of his books.
Yeah, like, his books, yeah.
This is over 100 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the fullness of God's divine nature through the human vessel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is surrendered to the plan of God. And I was thinking of, instantly, my mind went to Galatians 2:20,
yeah.
Right? For I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Right, that is theantric action. Right, it's no longer I, but Christ's life in me. Mm-hmm. I've been crucified. Myself has been crucified. And I may think, how is that possible? You know, how can Christ live through me? And we know in John 14, that's through the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Nice.
The Holy Spirit comes and Jesus says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Wow. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah. And then I was thinking about this, like, why? Like, what's the purpose of theantric action?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in John 17, Jesus says to his disciples, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me. So I see theantric action, which is Galatians 2:20.
Mm-hmm.
I see how it's possible, which is through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so just to reiterate, we are crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that's like the basis for it. That's how it happens. We're crucified with Christ. And then the Holy Spirit makes it possible in John 14. Go ahead.
For Christ to live in me.
Okay.
And the whole purpose of this is so that I may demonstrate Christ to the world.
Nice.
You know?
Awesome.
That's what I was
thinking.
And
John 17.
That's John 17.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a really good thought. If I were grading you on theantric action, which I'm not, because I'm not even teaching you in any classes, I would have to give you an A+.
Yeah, you know what? It's nice to finally sit down with you.
Oh no.
And not be corrected
and not be in trouble.
Just have fun.
Not be called to the principal's office of Bible College. Yeah. Jay, who knows what that's like, and a former GGCA grad, he's our producer today. He's helping us out. Theantric action, I think that's a really great basis, a really great way to start talking about it. I really love Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So there's death. Yeah. And then there's life. But what is the life? It's resurrection life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about God, his like divine nature overflowing inside of us, we're really talking about living. There's a couple different phrases for this. So let me say this first. Theantric action is not a widespread theological term, right?
Yeah.
We were doing our research on this beforehand. This is mainly a Greater Grace or Bible Speaks ministry term.
Mm-hmm.
That we found it to be the closest resemblance we found to the term itself was through Lewis Berry Schaefer. It was a glossary from Schaefer Theological Seminary, and they had the word theanthropic in their theology, which is the same thing. So theantric, theanthropic, two Greek words. You have theos, meaning what?
God.
Good job. And then you have anthropos, meaning what?
Man.
Man. Okay, so you have God, man. Who do we know in the Bible? Bible college student, who do we know to be the only God-man in the Bible?
Well, Jesus.
Right? Jesus Christ.
Jesus was fully God, fully man. Mm-hmm. Isn't that called the hypostatic union?
Yeah.
Of God, Jesus being fully God and fully man.
Yes.
So could we say that theantric action is to us believers what the hypostatic union is to Christ?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think that's a fair way to say it. I would caution all of our listeners today, and as we talk, I would caution us to think that to live in any sort of perfect theantric action, we would have to be God, and we are not God. We do have God inside of us. If you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, so you have a down payment, it says in Ephesians chapter 1:14, uses the word earnest in the King James Version. You have a down payment of God inside of you. Mm-hmm. But it also says in 1 Corinthians 13 that right now we see through a glass half darkly, that we don't know the fullness of his divine nature. Speaking of the fullness, I think this was one of the verses you gave me when we spoke about this before the show. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's see. Does it say fullness? Yeah, in verse 19. This is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, and we'll start in verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is a believer living with the Holy Spirit in their lives, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is theantric action, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. There's this other verse.
I like how you said back in verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith.
Yes.
That's maybe a prerequisite to theantric action.
Yeah, we have a couple of ingredients to create theantric action in your life. Not that we create it. The entire purpose of the definition of theantric action is that God actually creates it in our lives. Mm-hmm. He acts through us, right? But one of the ingredients that we're going to talk about a little bit later is faith.
Yeah.
So Ephesians 3:17, it's faith. One other really key verse to understanding theantric action, we believe, as we were studying, as we were led in our preparation, takes place in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. So you want to read that one for us, Andrew? 2 Peter, maybe you could do verses 3 and 4, but go ahead. You had a thought.
No, I was just trying to quote it. But
Oh. Be my guest. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Go ahead.
His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Okay, so maybe we just get right into the ingredients right now. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, I'm just going to invite our listeners to feel free to comment through YouTube or Facebook. We are watching and looking for your comments online as you watch the show. You can also call in the show live, toll-free, 1-800-338-7060. That number again, 1-800-338-7060, or the local number here in the Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. We welcome your comments and questions. If you type something into the chat and it is relevant to the show, we will absolutely talk about it and use it. So please feel free to do so. So the ingredients to make theantric action possible in our lives, maybe the first one is found there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. What was that word you were talking to me about?
Doctrine, right?
Doctrine.
Intake of doctrine.
Yeah, so what word is there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 that is like indicating the idea of doctrine to
these
us?
Precious and very great promises.
Precious and very great promises. Yeah. Where do we find precious and very great promises? We find it in our Bibles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. Let's put you on the spot again, Andrew. Oh, I love this. I love having a student here to pick on a little bit because I know that he has the Bible inside of him. What's a promise that you have from God, from the Word of God?
Well, There's the whole Bible, so many promises, but like positional truth, right?
Yeah.
I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is a guarantee of my inheritance.
So Ephesians 2:6, Ephesians 1:13 or 4:30.
Yeah. That gives me the ability to meditate on that and go into an attitude of faith rest. Right?
Wow. Yeah. Absolutely. So like as you take in the word of God, there's a couple different ways that you can like be reading your Bible, right? You can be reading to like get through a book or a chapter. You can be looking at a verse all by itself and just think about it. We say you can chew on it or turn it over in your mind and in your heart. We would call that meditation. Mm-hmm. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. That idea of meditation. Have you practiced meditation as you've been a Bible college student?
Yeah, I feel like last semester, Pastor Justin taught us Christian disciplines,
mm-hmm.
and that class really changed the way I studied my Bible.
Wow.
He took this whole chapter of Philippians 2 and really had us memorize it, and I realized that as I was memorizing it, I was thinking about it every day. Maybe at work, I was at work on my bed, I was thinking about it.
Wow.
And it started to be real to me, you know?
Yeah.
And there's something to be said to receiving the word of God,
mm-hmm.
right? It transforms my mind, mm-hmm. because my mind is being renewed. I like that word, transform.
Yeah.
You know, I think in the Greek, it's metamorpho.
Metamorpho, yeah.
Metamorpho,
yeah.
Which is changing the form of something,
mm-hmm.
by being in a certain condition.
Yes.
Right? So as I'm meditating on the word of God and as I am abiding in Christ, right, my life is being conformed to His image.
Yeah.
And my mind is being transformed.
That's really good. That brings up a great point. So let's look at that verse. It's Romans chapter 12, and I think it's verse 2. And I want you to think about this, because we're talking about meditation. We're talking about intake of the word of God is like the first ingredient to having theatric action in your life. So Romans 12:2 says, it's like a an exhortation from Paul to the Roman believers. And be not conformed to this world. So there's that one word, conformed. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be you metamorpho, changed inwardly, then outwardly. Conformed is only changing your outward appearance.
Mm.
Think about all the ways that we spend our time on a daily basis.
Yeah.
How many of those ways reflect us conforming to the world around us? How many, what do we do in our downtime?
Well, I like to watch YouTube.
Okay, maybe. YouTube, Netflix.
Netflix, game.
Gaming, Xbox, PS4 or 5. I don't even know what generation we're on anymore. There's so many. Gaming, watching TV, going out, hanging out with people, going and eating at restaurants, eating at bars, eating wherever. All these different things are like outward confirmation. It's fitting in,
mm-hmm.
with the rest of the world. But when we meditate, when we take in the word of God, we do something for our inner life. It said in Ephesians chapter 3 that the inner man would be renewed. So when we're meditating, when we're taking in the word of God, we are transforming. There's that word again, transforming. We are, I don't know, think of a caterpillar inside of a cocoon turning, yeah. into a butterfly. That's, yeah. like a really simple example of metamorphosis. We are transforming our inner selves to be more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As we're transforming, as we're taking in the word, we're giving ourselves the ingredients. Then we're actually not giving us the ingredients. We're giving something else inside of us the ingredients in which it needs to use to like to show forth its power in our life. What's that?
Yeah. His divine
think?
Nature, right?
His divine nature. Divine nature. So how has He supplanted His divine nature inside of us?
The first ingredient.
The first ingredient, the Word of God.
The Word of God.
Okay, so Jesus is the Word in John chapter, mm-hmm. 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He dwelt
among
us, right?
Yeah.
So he is the living word, and he is with us, and he is among us. And then when he goes away, he makes a promise.
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 16, who's he sending?
You a helper.
He's sending us a helper, a comforter. Yeah, who's that?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So when we say theatric action,
yeah.
right, my mind automatically goes to something that I do.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Because it's action.
Action.
Action. But I think it's important for me to realize that this is the action on the part of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is more of me being than doing.
Yes.
Right? John 15, abiding.
Yes.
Right? As I abide, I bear fruit. Right? This is not so much an action on my part, but Christ. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's important. And then He does it through the Holy Spirit in me.
Right.
Right? The Holy Spirit convicts me. The Holy Spirit has the ability to change my heart. Right?
Mm-hmm.
My... I exchange my thoughts with Christ's thoughts.
Yeah.
I have the mind of Christ.
Nice.
1 Corinthians 2:10, 2:16? Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Philippians 2, but I think yeah, I okay. think it's also
Let's
there.
Go with Philippians 2.
Oh, okay. All right. As you say, sir. Yeah. Philippians 2. The student is becoming the teacher today. I'm just going to sit here and receive from Andrew. Philippians 2.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go
okay.
ahead. Yeah.
Let's start with verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one not look to your own needs, but to the interests of others, having this mind in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus. How is that possible? How can I possibly have the mind of Christ? How can I possibly consider others more than myself?
Yeah.
You know?
That, I mean, that's a great question.
Yeah.
That's like a really hard question if you don't know the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what we're saying. The first ingredient is the Bible. We're not talking about knowledge of the Bible. We're not talking about taking in head knowledge and, oh, I know where this verse is. I know what that thing says. I know what this this book is about. We're not talking about that. We're talking about speaking the truth in love. We're talking about taking in the Bible to give it out to other people in a life-giving way. So to have the mind of Christ, really, you think about the way Jesus walked the earth. All right, when he faced the devil in the wilderness, what did he use to face the devil?
It is written.
It is written. He used the word.
Yeah.
Right? Whenever he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, he would give parable after parable. And he would say, you guys aren't going to understand this. But we get to look at it today, and it's the word of God, and we get to think about it. And then he explains it to us.
Yeah.
And then we're, like, our life is, like, is, I don't know, fuller.
Fuller.
Because of it.
Yeah.
Now, as we take it in, as we have the mind of Christ, what does it say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Go ahead.
The word of God.
Hearing by the word of God, right?
Yeah.
So if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then we are taking the doctrine that we receive, whether it's through personal reading, prayer, Bible study, sitting in a church, receiving from the pastor teacher, receiving from the pulpit, sitting in a Bible college class or maybe six or seven in a semester and hearing the word of God wash over you each and every day. It says in James chapter 1, receiving with meekness the engrafted word. We apply faith to those things that we hear, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 55, the word that has been deposited into you will go forth to accomplish that which it was sent out for.
Yeah.
So like the Holy Spirit will bring it back to remembrance in John chapter 14 and verse 26. He'll bring it back to remembrance and he will teach you with it in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27.
Yes.
There's a lot of verses. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm not going to repeat those. I don't even know if they're still in my head at this point, but but the Holy Spirit is acting on what we by faith have received from God through all of those different avenues.
Yeah.
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 What do you think? Like, can you give me an example of that either in your life or in another student, like on outreach or I don't know anything. You're involved in the church plant in Frederick, right?
Yeah.
How's that going? Tell me a little bit about that.
That's I mean, that is theatric action.
Okay.
Right.
Explain. I want to hear that.
I see Christ working in the lives of people. Just as a little example, we were on the street doing evangelism, and it was a really bad day of evangelism. I got yelled at by this lady, and I was so close, so close to giving up.
Yeah.
But the previous night, I'd meditated on the love of God and the love of Christ and seeking one, right? I said, I'm not going to end this year. I'm not going to end this in a bad note, but I'm going to go and seek one because I believe God has one.
Cool.
Right,
and like one soul,
like one
person.
Soul, one yeah. person to
awesome.
Talk to, and
love
we
that.
See this guy staring at a building, and I feel a prompting in my heart to talk to him, but I walk by him.
Yeah,
and on the way back, he walks past us.
Yeah,
and we talk to him.
Wow,
and 2 weeks later, he's in our church, and four months
wow.
later, he's in our church, and
wow.
he's helping out on the team. You know.
Yeah,
and what is that? How did I know to go to him?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Christ put the Holy Spirit put something in my heart.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's think about that for a second. What is the love of God? What is the love of God? Oh, it's a good question.
It's a good question.
Andrew, what is the love of God? What do you think?
Well,
give me a characteristic. Maybe let's put it that way. Give me a characteristic of the love of God.
His laid down life.
His laid down life. There is no greater love than this. I think it's John chapter 15, verse 13.
Yeah.
That a man would lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah.
Right? That's Christ laying down his life for us. When it says we are crucified with Christ, we are only crucified because he willingly got onto the cross himself.
Mm-hmm.
It, while he's on the cross in John chapter 19, he literally says, "Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit."
Yeah.
Like he willingly gives himself up to death.
Yeah.
He became obedient to death in the book of Hebrews, right? So because he's been crucified, because he's laid down his life, we are able to look at other people through the love of God. So the lens of the love of God is like a few things. He's not a respecter of persons,
mm-hmm.
okay? So any single person that you come across,
yeah.
you could have opportunity to speak to and fill their heart and mind with the word of God, with the love of God, right? God is love in 1 John 4, 8, and 16. If we have that mentality, if we're meditating on it, if we're taking in, we're believing it by faith, then when this guy walks by you once or twice and the Holy Spirit nudges you, it's like, hey, you are like filled with the love of God because you've been thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit is using that to give you something to say to this man.
Yeah.
To me, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a really perfect example of theatric action.
Yeah.
One comment we have from one of our listeners, Ebeth Hogue, says, "I think of his every promise like a hug from God, and him teaching me in my situations is like a heavenly kiss from my Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord." That's a great comment, Elizabeth. That's a really great perspective to have. Sometimes we go through chastisement and it doesn't seem pleasant at the time, but it is so that we can be partakers of his holiness. Sometimes we're meditating on the love of God and we get yelled at by an individual, and God gives us an opportunity to let his love shine through and for us not to be cast down and utterly forsaken, but for us to continue in the work, continue and find someone who will receive his love.
I like what you said. Like we have the mind of Christ, which was to seek and save the lost.
Yes.
Right? We have the heart of Christ, right? Which is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have maybe the eyes, you said, right? The eyes of Christ. What
yes.
is that? What is that? Like he sees value in people.
Wow.
He sees inherent value in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because people are his creation.
Yeah.
People were made in his image and his likeness in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inherent value. I love that. That's a great idea. Okay, so we've covered two ingredients so far.
Mm-hmm.
We've got doctrine, the intake mm-hmm. of it. We apply faith to that doctrine, the words that we hear. All right, and then you have the Holy Spirit. You are born of God is another way to describe that. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must receive Christ into your life.
Yeah.
So what is this big last ingredient for theatric action to take place in our lives?
Well, I don't know. Could God use someone who's not willing? Would God ever violate my free will?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like is God sovereign?
Yeah.
Yes, God is sovereign. But will he honor our free will if we choose to turn tail and run the other way?
For sure.
Yeah.
I can think of a verse in 2 Timothy, I think.
Yeah. So this is an important question that Andrew's asking because of what our last ingredient is. So you will understand our train of thought here in a second.
2 Timothy 2, verses... Sorry, I don't find it.
13?
Is it 13?
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
2:24. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. I can't find it.
Ah!
But
it's okay.
It talks about
no
it talks about how there's both in one household, the household of God.
Yeah.
There's vessels for honor.
Oh, verse 20.
For dishonor.
Verse 20.
Verse 20.
Yeah, you want to? Yeah, go ahead.
Now, in a great household, there are not only vessels of gold or silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of this as God is so okay with me choosing to sit on the shelf.
Yeah.
Right? He's okay with that. And that's not what he wants.
Right.
But he's okay with that.
Yeah.
He desires that I be used in this plan.
Yeah.
He desires that I be conformed to the image of his son.
Yeah.
Like God wants to change my heart, but without manipulating me to do so.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's a really big word, and you'll hear that word in the negative connotation all the time, manipulation, because anything run by men, anything run by fallen sinners can have, victim to manipulation. You can be manipulated. We talked about the prosperity gospel last week. You can be manipulated to give money to think that it'll somehow better yourself in the kingdom of God. You can be manipulated to think that if you don't do this thing or that thing, then you are not walking with God and you can lose your salvation. Mm-hmm. You can be manipulated a million and one different ways. But whenever it comes to God's relationship with us, he's not going to like force our hand.
Yeah.
He's not going to say, do this or else.
Yeah.
He's going to say, here are the different ways that you can go.
Yeah.
And, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that God will not manipulate us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he wants to change us.
Yeah.
But he wants us to have nothing to do with it. Isn't that so funny?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things. Yes.
Yeah.
Hard to wrap your mind around a little bit.
Yeah. It's almost like God is saying, I'm like, God, how? He says, let me do it. I'll change you. Intake of doctrine, right?
Yeah.
You have my Holy Spirit walking in.
Yeah.
As you have received and walking in.
Yes. Where's that? Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then respond in your free will.
Okay, here it is. Respond. Here's the last ingredient. Andrew just got there. What's the last ingredient?
It's responding, right? In my free volition?
Yes.
Responding.
So
could I say that I have the ability to have God's divine nature in this human vessel, right? This treasure in earthen vessels.
Yes. Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Through the intake of doctrine.
Yeah.
Being filled with the Spirit, walking the Spirit, and responding to God's initiation positively.
Yes.
Right?
And then this amazing, crazy thing happens. He uses us. It's like we don't understand why. We don't understand how. But we're walking down the street. A lady yells at us. Sorry to keep using that example, but it's just so good. But then another person walks down the street, and he uses you to speak to that person. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, faithful is he who called you, who also
surely he will do it.
Who also will do it.
Yeah.
Surely it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
He will not tarry. Like, it will come to pass. That's the vision in Habakkuk. I'm mincing verses now. Look out. Be careful. All right. But we set the stage, right? You put all the ingredients in the pot. And all of a sudden, theatric action is brewing, and you have nothing to do with it. You put all the ingredients in, and the Holy Spirit fire is cooking it. The Holy Spirit fire is cooking it, and it just lights a fire inside of you. You take one sip of that stuff, and it lights a fire in you, and you're walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So let's go there. Galatians chapter 5. Where's Galatians? It's before Ephesians, I think. Oh, good. It's still in the
same place, director.
It's always been. Okay. Galatians 5. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? This is what we're talking about. This is theantric action. This is being filled with God's divine nature, his fullness coming and filling you. It says, we didn't read this verse in Ephesians 3, verse 20, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's his fullness dwelling in us.
Yes.
That's not us doing. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that the servant of the Lord actually must not strive. It says Jesus calls us to himself in Matthew chapter 11 and says, come unto me and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not us working. It's us receiving.
Yeah.
When we receive something by faith, then God uses it in our lives in a way that's so beyond our power and control that it works in someone else's life. Let me give you one example. James chapter 5, I think. James chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. People will take these two verses and they'll say all sorts of crazy things about them, okay? I just want to say, I hope, one simple thing about this. The idea of prayer, when we pray, who are we praying to?
The Father.
The the Father, yeah. okay, through the Son, through we the could Son. Say, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit has these groanings which we can't even utter. He's speaking directly to God on our behalf. We pray to the Father through the Son. Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 7, 1 John chapter 2. He's interceding on our behalf. So when we pray, are we doing any sort of work?
Faith.
Faith is doing the
faith
work.
Faith is doing the work.
But do we bring the faith, or has God deposited the faith in our lives?
Yeah.
Which one is it? It's tough. No,
it's the faith of the Son of God, right?
Yes.
It's Christ's
we
faith
live by the faith of the Son of God.
It's Christ's faith working in us.
Yes.
Right?
That's Galatians 2:20 yes. and Romans 12:3.
Yes.
Yeah, so his faith has caused us to pray.
Yeah.
Okay? We're praying to the God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow yeah. of turning. We're praying to him, and our prayers are being heard by the Father because Christ is advocating for us.
Yeah.
Now, when we pray, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it has nothing to do with us. We are giving it to God, and we are saying, okay, do you have family members who are not saved? Are you listening today? Do you have family members who are not saved? Do you pray for them? Do you pray that Christ will come into their lives and heal them? Do you pray that he will save them? Or do you think, oh, I have to say something, I have to do something, I have to act a certain way, I have to like reach them? Maybe you do. Maybe God will use you in that way, but do you pray for them? Because I think God can do something with your prayer because you're like giving him permission, like, all right, God, go ahead. Like, it's like, it's a... Oh, man, it's like putting in the star player in a basketball game or putting in the closing pitcher in a baseball game. Yeah. It's like saying, this person's going in the game. I'm calling on God. I'm calling him off the bench. God, get in there. And he's going to do a miraculous thing. Yeah. He's going to overcome the enemy. He's going to defeat the opponent, whoever the opponent is.
Yeah, I think of like me trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit. leads to striving.
Yes, yeah.
I try. And maybe it's a family member and I try.
Yeah.
Or like, it's his word that will not return void.
Yeah.
Not mine, right? And I let the Holy Spirit do the work of convicting.
Yes.
Like, that's Philippe's big thing in apologetics that he talks about.
Okay.
Right? It's, don't, let the Holy Spirit do the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know?
It's not our job to yeah. convict other people.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will do plenty of that. It's not our job to offend people with the gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel will do that all by itself.
Yeah.
Right?
I think of Peter and Cornelius.
Yeah.
Right? Acts 10.
Yeah.
It's Cornelius was a devout man and prayed to God continually.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter's on the other side having fellowship with God.
Yes.
Communicating, God showing him a vision.
Yeah.
And then God puts it on Peter's heart and God puts it on Cornelius' heart and they end up meeting together.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? That's theantric action.
That's theantric action.
That's God working in Peter and God working in Cornelius.
Yeah. And then the chapter before, you have Saul and Ananias.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing. Saul is going to do everything in his strength to persecute Christianity as a Pharisee. He thinks he's doing the right thing. He thinks he's acting on God's behalf. And then Christ meets him
yeah.
right there and just says, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Do you know that it's me that you're persecuting? He blinds him, and then he leads him to Ananias, and he leads Ananias to receiving Saul, who at the time is Saul, not Paul.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. That's theantric action.
Yeah. What would you say are some things that hinder us? Because we have the Word of God that we intake.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Holy Spirit that works in us.
Yeah.
And then we respond positively. But then what are some things that hinder us from living in a life that is fully submitted to God, that is, I don't know, what do you say, immersed in God's nature?
Yeah. That's a great question. Let's take it ingredient by ingredient. So you have the Word of God first, right? We said faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. practically speaking, do you go to where you hear the Word of God? Because if you don't, then you're going to be hindered.
Yeah.
If you don't open your Bible yourself, which a lot of people will not do, you just like the Bible is the thing that's up on the shelf, not so much them, but they don't realize that by leaving the Bible up on the shelves, they're also like placing themselves right next to it up on the shelf in terms of God's divine use.
Yeah.
Okay. You go to where the Bible is preached.
Yeah.
Okay. So a church, hopefully the Bible is preached, not other things, mm-hmm. not political issues, not socioeconomic issues.
Not a sentimental message.
Yeah. Not sentimental or emotional things, but the Bible is preached. If you don't, do you ever turn on the Bible on your phone, do you ever just listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't open it and read it, do you ever just listen to it? Faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
So laziness, we can say, is a real common thing.
Big.
Slothfulness, these are like biblical words, but these are real human tendencies that we have.
Yeah.
I would rather watch Netflix and open my Bible sometimes. Let's be honest. Whatever that thing is for you, whatever sublimation you have to not open your Bible or pray. Laziness, slothfulness, pride. You know who knew the word really well but had a whole lot of pride in his
Satan?
Life?
Satan.
The devil. He was lifted up in pride in Ezekiel chapter 28. He was the anointed cherub, and he went to Christ in the wilderness, and he tempted him using the word of God also, but he used it out of context and without God's character.
Interesting. Yeah.
Look out.
Yeah.
Do you know that people from the pulpit can preach the word and use it in pride and use it against you and use it to tempt you and test you in a way that is not godly?
Yeah.
Be on the lookout for that.
What also doesn't help is that we have this old sin nature.
Ooh.
This body of death. Who can deliver me from this body of death?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Romans 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like what he says. Like, what I want to do, I don't do. Right?
Yes.
The evil that I do is because of the sin that dwells in me.
Yes.
I want to do something, but I don't have the ability to carry it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why I may never in this body of death experience theatric action in its fullness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm thinking about it like slightly differently. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, like he asks God multiple times, remove this thorn from my flesh. We could think about that as the sin nature for like a sort of example or illustration. The thorn in our flesh that can never be removed from our lives is the old sin nature. But does God have an answer for us for the old sin nature? And is theantric action still possible, though we have an old sin nature?
Yes.
Yeah, what does he say? He says,
my grace is sufficient.
My grace is sufficient for you. My grace, because when you are weak, then my strength is made perfect. And who's it about again?
It's all about him.
It's about Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's about God being glorified. In Isaiah chapter 43 in verse 7, do you know why it says that we were created? It says that we were created to glorify God. It doesn't say that we were created to glorify ourselves, to work up a corporate ladder and become the top of this thing or that thing or be the best at this sport or that contest or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It says we're here to glorify God. How do we glorify God? Receiving doctrine.
Doctrine.
Letting the Holy Spirit do its work through us and choosing to participate in it with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theantric action.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Okay, we've said a lot. Hey, if you have comments, please feel free to send them our way through YouTube or Facebook Live. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-483-3700, toll-free, 1-800-338-7060. We do have one new comment here. Ruth says, we need all the verses. It's a great opportunity to intake the Word of God. It's amazing to learn about theantric action. Thank you, Ruth. Yes, every verse of the Bible is inspired, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And then we have a question here that just came in. Andrew, I'm going to give you this question. I haven't even read it yet, so good luck. All right, Elizabeth says, does preparation in prayer before we do an outreach or inreach to someone intensify theantric action to be more effective?
I'm thinking of, we have this, let me down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, 2 Corinthians. I'm all over the place today.
That's good. Isn't Andrew doing a great job? Anyone listening and following along? Andrew's doing a great job. This is his first time on the show. He's crushing it right now. 2 Corinthians, where are we at?
2 verse 14, 15. Mm-hmm. The Spirit, for who has understood the mind of the Lord? But we have the mind of Christ. And I'm thinking of when we are in fellowship with Christ, with the Father, through the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is used to intimacy with Christ.
Yeah.
And intimacy with the Father.
Yeah.
And then when I'm in the Spirit and I'm praying, I'm in tune with the mind of Christ.
Yes.
And that definitely does affect me when I go out on outreach.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Like
I'm in tune. Like we talked about before, I have the mind of Christ. I have his heart.
Mm-hmm.
right? I have his eyes. I see value in people.
Yeah.
I was thinking, my mom was telling me about this a couple of days ago. They had a big big event in Mumbai where mm-hmm. they went on the streets and
Oh yeah, I heard about this.
And there was a big truck and everyone was dressed up in Christmas clothes and they were singing and then my mom looks over and there's this homeless lady on the street
mm-hmm.
and usually you wouldn't see value in that, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you look at that with natural eyes, but she felt a tug on her heart for the Holy Spirit, and she went and she talked to her and she sat down with her.
Yeah.
And that lady ended up getting saved.
Awesome.
And think of the value that Christ sees in that person.
Yeah.
Right? So when I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, I have the ability to have Christ's mind and heart towards people.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. In Luke 15, it says one soul, there's rejoicing in all of heaven when one soul is saved. One soul is saved. Just to add to Andrew's answer to your question, Elizabeth, as long as you're not doing prayer as a work, as long as you're not doing it out of habit without the life of Christ, no, it's not. Is it really? The day that Andrew is on the Grace Hour, it's his birthday. Don't worry, Andrew, I will spare you of my singing. I won't sing you happy birthday. But we will let and everyone comment in. It is Andrew's birthday. He's doing a great job. Bob Townsend commented in, Andrew, this has been such an amazing blessing today. Madeline says, Andrew is awesome.
Thank you.
His first time on the show, he's doing a great job. Theatric action.
Yeah.
Having the heart and mind of God overflow in your life to be able to walk in his ways, right?
Yeah.
Look at this. All the comments are pouring in. This is the most comments we've ever received on the Grace Hour. I don't know. Yeah. Andrew, do you have any closing thoughts for us on this idea, theatric action?
I was thinking of this morning. It just came to me, and I was thinking about how in John 12:24. Christ says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies,
mm-hmm.
it dies alone. Right? It dies alone, but when it dies, it bears much fruit.
Yes.
Unless it dies, it doesn't bear fruit.
Yeah.
Right? And I was thinking of that in our lives. Maybe we have to die. Like, death has to precede life. Mm-hmm. It has to be death to self.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes, I think of another thing that could hinder me is self-will.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
From the fall, it's man's nature to preserve himself.
Yeah.
Right? And that could be a big factor. But when I give Christ access into my heart, he changes it. And maybe there will be breaking, but then he conforms me to the image of his son, and that's awesome.
Yes.
And that's awesome.
Maybe that's a good thought to end on, just that idea of brokenness. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, you and I. Psalm 51, verse 17, in David's psalm, after he commits a terrible act, a terrible sin, but he repents and he comes back to Christ. Psalm 51, verse 17, he says this: the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Operating from a stance of brokenness in your life. Oh, the comments. I can't even say, okay. Operating from a stance of brokenness in your life, understanding that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that it is a gift of God that you have been saved. That in Romans, is it chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of our sin, of our sinful life, is death.
Yeah.
And that we would have no way out of being given what we're owed, which is death, if it weren't for the gift of Christ that we receive through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when we are operating from that standpoint, that can be a standpoint of brokenness. God will not despise you in that. If you are if you are thinking in that way, if you come to God in humility and meekness, he lifts you up. It says that he will, is this 1 Peter chapter 5? Let's see.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 5.
Verse 10.
Well, that's one of them. Hold on. I'm getting there. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. It says at the very end, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So how does he do that? We cast all our cares upon him, and he cares for us, and he lifts us up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of it when you talked about David.
Yeah.
He didn't live in his emotions,
right?
He didn't let his emotions affect
most of the
him,
time.
But he didn't let his emotions affect him. What did he do when he sinned and Nathan
confronted him. Yeah,
he lost his son.
Yeah.
He got up and he washed his face and he moved on. He rebounded.
Yeah,
I think that's really important.
And
then we know that 1 Peter 5:10, that Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. It's not me.
Yeah.
All I do is I'm in the state of being, in the state of faith rest and faith obedience.
I love that. I love that phrase, the state of being.
State of being.
I'm in the state of being. You're walking in the Spirit. It's your default position, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you have the Spirit inside of you, you are filled with the Spirit. Believe that. Receive that by faith. Walk in that. Just be.
Just be.
Just be
in
that and watch God work and activate his divine power, the fullness of his power in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you guys following along. Thank you to all the comments that you gave. And look who just commented in
mother.
At the very end. Andrew's mother, John 6:63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yeah, we appreciate you guys joining us today. Thank you for all the comments. Thank you for the well wishes for Andrew. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other outlets. Be sure to join us this week as we continue the topic, Theantric Action. Andrew, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.